Welcome to the Dope CFO Podcast, where you can find the best information for accountants and bookkeepers that want to start and grow a highly profitable and flexible remote cannabis accounting firm with your host, Andrew Hunziker. Now that's dope.
Hey everybody, this is Andrew Hunziker, CPA, also CFO, founder of Dope CFO as well. Quick about my background. I've been a CPA for over 25 years, was at a big four, including PricewaterhouseCoopers. I won the gold medal award for the highest score in the CPA exam, as well as was runner up for the Portland, Oregon Business Journal CFO of Year Award in 2017. And I was the first ever cannabis CFO to be nominated. Done lots of startup work as well. And love teaching all of our community. We have now over 500 people in all 50 states in our Dope CFO program. Hello, everybody. Hopefully this is live. This is Andrew Hunziker. I'm a CPA, founder of Dope CFO. And if you want to learn more about that program or interested in your accountant, bookkeeper, CPA, CFO, et cetera, enrolled agent, and want to learn how to get into the niche very, very quickly, check us out at dopecfo.com, or you can message me here as well. There's pretty much nothing left out of our program at this point, whether it's education, a complete toolbox of tools, a world-class community that is simply second to none in the U.S. right now, and I intend to keep it that way. We're pretty... pretty big, massive group of amazing people. And then on top of all that, we've got a really good system for finding and closing and serving high paying clients. So enough about that. And let's talk about IRS and audits. So I've done on my podcast just recently, I'm not sure actually if it's published. If not, it will be coming out very soon. I did a really good podcast with Rachel Gillette. She's one of the leading attorneys for quite some time, over a decade, defending cannabis companies with the IRS. And so we had a really interesting conversation. The backdrop is, and she gives some good points in there about how, you know, if you're in dealing with the IRS, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, and they can see you're really trying to do your best. You're trying to comply with the law. You got great accounting, et cetera. They will work with you a little bit. That said, they're winning every single case. They've now done studies. There was a big study done last year where they looked at the whole West Coast, and it was something like 80% of tax returns were not only incorrect, they were incorrect and massively underpaying tax. And what's the backdrop right now? We're literally talking about our debt ceiling today. We've been talking about the debt issues of this country for 30 years now, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. Our federal government is broke. Our states are broke. Our counties and cities are broke. They need money. And not only that, we need our economy to have lots of jobs. So this industry, it's a real boom for our country when we need it. It's not just great medicine. It is providing jobs and tax dollars. And so the IRS should expect that these companies are doing things correctly, and they should expect to get their share of tax. And if that means 280E is around right now and these companies are paying a lot of tax, that's what it means. And someday 280E will likely, it won't go away, but cannabis will more than likely be pulled off Schedule 1 like CBD was, because it's real medicine that 8 out of 10 Americans want. But in the meantime, whether we're talking about CBD where there isn't 280E, or we're talking about cannabis where there is, we're going to have lots and lots of compliance. We're talking about these companies cost many millions of dollars to found and run, and their mom and pop can be 5 to 20 million in revenues. And so these are companies that need to be run in a good way. And so what is that? That also means there's lots of investors, there's loans, there's M&A activity. Eventually there'll be public filings. And so they don't just need average accounting. They need what I call rock solid world-class accounting. And so that is step one. We've seen this in some of the audits already. On top of doing 280E wrong or taking the wrong tax position, the IRS was noticing, oh, just the books and records are a total shambles, and there's no inventory counts and there's no controls, and they will fine and win huge fines on that stuff, on top of not wanting to work with you on anything else on the 280E side. So maybe you have a great 280E strategy. That's not for this call, but what I want to talk about is, first and foremost, let's get that rock solid accounting. So what that means in our program, we are going to, first of all, we're going to onboard correctly. We're going to set up a perpetual data room that is every backdrop item we're going to need, whether it's legal documents, insurance policies, etc. And then getting into the accounting side, every month end, we're going to do a permanent audit trail. And so what that means to me is, if done correctly and I drop over dead tomorrow, Pricewaterhouse or whoever the auditor is can show up and they won't need me, because that permanent audit trail is built. It is very robust. It's going to go from transaction or event to source document into the general ledger to trial balance, to our trial balance tie, to our financials, to our value-added reports, tick mark backwards and forwards. We're going to find and fix errors. We're going to add accruals. It's going to be literally laid out where everything is. We're going to make our AJEs. We're going to do all of our cost accounting. We're going to have those all tied out as well. And then we're going to have clear tie-outs into our value-add financials and KPIs, etc. So first and foremost, before we even talk about it, auditors, if you do that, that adds massive value to a $5 to $10 million company very quickly. They can now actually run their business in a timely, accurate way. They can share that with their management team, their board, and then secondarily with their investors and lenders as they need it. And then, oh yeah, if an auditor shows up, it might be the state, it might be the IRS, it might be a bank, it might be lots of people, M&A, someone wants to buy the company. It will already be done. It's ready to go. It adds a ton of value to your clients, and it protects your butt when the auditors come. And so if an auditor comes and shows up at one of my clients and they find this permanent audit trail and all this stuff, and that we're attempting to show exactly, here's how we do 280 and 471 correctly, here is why we should get this deduction under 471-11, etc. And by the way, we back this up with really rock solid accounting. We're going to probably do pretty good. We're probably going to get actually defend our position and whatnot, and maybe even get a few more things that have lost in the courts, etc. So that is step one. Doing it correctly. Now, I know in this email I was reading ways to avoid getting our clients flagged for audit at all. Just don't be super aggressive. For example, I don't know what the current benchmark is, but at one point I'd heard from some insiders that if the 280E adjustment was less than 20% on a dispensary, automatic flag. And so I'd seen tax returns that a dispensary says, okay, here I've got 5 million of sales, and cost of goods sold is $4,999,999.99. So taxable income is 1 cent. And since it's so small, we don't need to pay any tax. Duh, that's not. So anytime you do anything that doesn't make sense from a 10,000 foot level, it looks fishy. Things like gifting pot, selling a sticker that you put on your car for $100 and then giving someone pot, things like that. Things don't smell right. They're probably not right. So don't do it. That's simple. We don't deal with any kind of nonsense from our clients on that side. So we need to set up that permanent audit trail. This is going to add a ton of value to our clients, again, from not only from running the company, but for when they want to do an exit, and then when the auditors come. So I want to talk real briefly how this relates to 471-11. So IRC 471-11 for growers and manufacturers and chemical processing plants, if you do it correctly, then, and this again is where people like Brenda, who are in my Dope CFO VIP program, you are way, way, way ahead of your competition, and why clients should love to fire people not in our program and hire you. So this is one immediate differentiator. 471-11, what does that say? It says very clearly, if it identifies three costs that you can put into your inventory, three types. Type one is things you must put in there. Type two is things you cannot put in there, things like advertising. And type three is things you can put into inventory if and only if you are doing GAAP inventory, cost accounting, and your recurring financials, period. 99 out of 100 cannabis companies are not doing that. Many of their tax people are taking that deduction anyway. So I tell a business owner, I say, look, if you're the farmer, I can give you one of two answers. Either your tax accountant is taking a cost they shouldn't be, which is bad news for you, or you're missing a tax deduction, which is also bad news. So a dope CFO VIP accountant can do this correctly and do that gap quarterly cost accounting because why? You've got the education, you've got the toolbox, you've got the knowledge, and you've got this resources national community to back you up and help give you those answers. And so we can bring that to our clients. Most other of our competition cannot, but that for those costs are very big items that our clients don't want to miss out on, but you simply have to be doing so under 280E. Remember, you can't deduct anything on the tax return, no credits either. But what you can deduct is the cost of inventory. So obviously, if I'm a grower, I want as much cost in inventory as I can get it, so that when I sell product, it becomes cost of goods sold. FYI, you don't have cost of goods sold before something's sold. That's again common sense. We're going to use that a lot. what are some of these category three costs? Pretty biggies here. Let's just taxes, depreciation. This is Brenda's question, and depletion, employee benefits, cost attributable to strikes, reweigh work, labor, and scrap and spoilage. Also big to farmers. Factory admin, officer salaries, and insurance costs. So huge costs that we want to do and get in there. But again, and Brenda asked this question in our group, and some people said, oh yeah, you can do depreciation, you got to do this. No, that's not actually the answer. It depends on if your accountant is actually doing this correctly month in and month out, or quarter in and quarter out. So make sure you are doing that for your clients. You can't just come in at year end and say, oh, I'm going to fix the tax return and deduct it, because it says you can't do that. So you need to follow that along. If you're doing that, you can add value. Now, say 2 years from now, this is how this ties into today's topic, the IRS shows up. And Brenda, you all took that deduction. You better have the evidence to back it up. Here is how we were doing this quarterly cost accounting, starting with our flower accounts, starting with our cost accounting templates, and how we do our AJs in the program. You've got that built. It's done forever. The IRS shows up in what, 3 years from now for 2021? It's already covered. No need for anyone to call you and rebook that. So that's kind of my talk for today. If anyone has any questions, I'll hang on here for a minute. But again, that's how we start our building our permanent audit trail and doing that, just accounting 101, doing it correctly. I find so many companies, this doesn't even have to do with the cost accounting industry or the cannabis industry, of just, I'll ask bookkeepers or accountants, how do you find and fix errors every month? So you do your data entry, you download the bank recs, and you do this and that, and then you print financials. What do you do to stop, find, and fix errors and add accruals? Most aren't doing anything, which means the books and records are filled with errors. That's why you can go to any accounting firm in the US, national firm, big four firm. They audit, worldwide companies, global companies, national companies, small companies. And what do they find in every single audit of every single company? Lots and lots of errors. And that's why they have a thing called AJEs. And then they have another thing called past AJEs. You've been listening to the Dope CFO Cannabis Accounting Podcast. Every other Monday, we air tips and insights on cannabis and CBD hemp accounting. Make sure you subscribe today and also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. We're pretty much everywhere for more advice, tips, industry news as well. To find out more about our cannabis and CBD accounting program, visit dopecfo.com and don't forget to be dope.